Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 250, part 1, Personality. Today is Friday, July 6, 2012. Nah, we're just on vacation.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
Today's tape is entitled Personality. I believe the first requisite for a life of victory, of course, is in Christ Jesus. Listen now, Psalm 98 and 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Think of that. Hundreds of years before, this was written in the Psalms. He has gotten the victory. The victory is all that receive Christ Jesus will see the kingdom of heaven. How do you do that? If you will lose your personality, if you will give your life, your personality is you. If you'll give your life, you'll gain your life. If you will but confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. Isn't that a simple message? For you to live must be Christ as it was with Paul. Now the second thing here is right relationships with other people. We all need friends. Not too long ago a guy told me, he says, you know, I really don't need friends. I can get along all by myself. I said, well, I suppose you can, but that's a miserable way to go. He says, what do I need friends for? I said, you need friends because of this friend. You need a friend to serve. You need someone to take care of, to act out your part with. You see, all of our inward turning to oneself paves the way for defeat. That's why there are so many defeated people. They retrospect. They come into their selves. The eye does not turn in on itself. It looks away from itself to an object. I think there is a song like that. The object of my affection is to turn my direction. We have to turn ourselves from looking inwardly and start to look out. And that's the whole of this mission down here, don't you know? Looking out to other people, looking to see what we can do in Christ Jesus for them. The healthy soul then refuses all introspection. It doesn't study itself. Well, don't study yourself too close, because you're bound to find something wrong. I think we're all pretty good at, you know, finding fault with others. And so I think we ought to be careful when we start to look at ourselves too closely. The Bible says, examine yourself. But after that you do. After that you examine yourself. And David says in the Bible, he says like this. He says, God, search my heart. Examine my heart. Now what I'm doing, I don't know if it's right or wrong yet. And I want your approval. Don't do this on your own. I think there's a lot of people right now, even whilst I'm speaking, that will probably be committing suicide because they're looking too closely at themselves. They're not looking unto God. See, the soul is not taken up with itself. It is taken up with God and man. Don't look too closely at yourself. See, man fell when God ceased to be the center. God was driven from the throne and self became the center, and man left individuality and developed a personality, and that we always have to guard. Mitzi has to guard her personality. Don has to guard his personality. Janine has to guard her personality. Pastor Paul has to guard his personality. Oh, we're so afraid. And I'm just using you because you're here today. Don't get too convicted. We all have to guard our personalities. We all have to sort of hide behind that personality. Pastor Paul. What kind of a man is Pastor Paul? Well, Pastor Paul is a sinner saved by grace. I was born into the kingdom of God a sinner, and I'll go to heaven a sinner saved by grace. What do you mean by that? There'll be no perfect people in heaven. They'll all be sinners saved by grace. The grace and the love and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, the Bible says. Be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all, the Bible says. See, because your personality then demands that we have pride. We must continually be putting on a face. I remember when I was in the world, I remember when I first started preaching, I thought, well, now I have to be a certain type of a person so that people will receive me. And do you know why that was? Because I was fighting a lot of other personalities, putting on a face, competing with other personalities, competing with other pastors, competing all the time. Well, the Bible, the world says, looking to be top dog. A guy told me the other day, and he was in a high place too, money-wise. He says, you know what it is, Pastor, it's dog eat dog. And I looked at him and I thought, now there is a million-pound dog. He's eaten a lot of other dogs. Think about that. All you get when you have that personality complex, when you're out there and you're looking for someone, you're like that dog that's eating another dog. You become more of a dog. Say amen, somebody. Mitzi was wondering when I was going to say that, weren't you? See, pride can ride you right through hell every day. We can never be a loser. Too many people would enjoy it. Oh, how we hate to be a loser. How we hate to someone to come up and say, you know what, you're a loser, you lost, or laugh at us. Don't be afraid to be a loser. How many here know what I'm talking about? We're afraid to be a loser. We don't want anybody to see us when we're a loser. We become fearful of losing. We try to develop our personalities to be kind. Did you ever try to be kind? Did you ever get up in the morning and say, today I am going to be a kind person. Today I am going to be happy. Today I am going to be a lover. Today I am going to be wanted. People will want me. Today I'm going to be sane. Today I am going to be outgoing. Have you ever felt insane? You said, well, tomorrow is going to be different. Tomorrow I'll be sane. You know what? When you try to do those things, you look nuttier. I visited a mental ward one time, and I wanted to get in to see a guy, so I kind of snuck in through different doors and so on like that, and I got inside, and I thought, how am I going to explain I don't belong in here? The saner I try to act, the more insane I'll look. Did you ever try to act sane? Did you ever try to act happy? Have you? Sure, you all have. Have you ever tried to be wanted? How do you be wanted? How do you make somebody want you for yourself? Huh? Have you ever tried to be outgoing? You're a bore. Did you ever try to be outgoing? Oh, that's such an outgoing. Pastor, you're such an outgoing person. Huh? Did you ever try to be popular? Huh? That's your personality. Isn't it a lot of work to build up a personality? Jesus, it says, was a man of no personality. No personality. He was an individual. Did you ever try to be prosperous? See, this is all part of your personality, and we're trying to hold on to that. And we worry about how we're doing. We become so self-conscious. Why, our whole country is possessed with losing weight. You can't turn the TV on. They got the gut buster on there. They got the exerciser on there. They got horses on there. They got running on there. They got jogging on there. The whole world is caught up in losing weight and their hair and their crow feet wrinkles around here and their nails. The other day I had the laugh. There was a guy and he was trying one of these love machines. You ever seen him where you grab both of the handles? You grab both of these handles, and before he grabbed the handles, he looked all around. Make sure no one was watching, and, you know, in case the machine said something negative. And he put a dime in, and he squeezed the handle, and it rose to, lay down, you're dead. And he almost did. See, that was his personality. He didn't want to be found out. Well, I don't care if people find me out in my personality. Bible says I can do nothing without Christ. I can do nothing without Christ. Well, your personality says, well, I can do a lot. Then there's a lot of people that are in the mental wards, aren't there? There's a lot of people that aren't in the mental wards. I think the sane ones are in the mental wards. Judging from what I've seen, even in the body of Christ. Say amen, somebody. There's another one, Mitz. But we ask each other, how are you doing? We don't really care. Oh, fine, we say, and we know different. Pride says, shut up, cover up, keep your guard up, fight back, show your teeth, smile. Act out what I've shown you. Don't ever admit defeat. It's dog eat dog, remember? Look at Paul, you're eating up all of the competition. I thought to myself, well, if that's the way it is, every bite that I take must be chewed and every bone must be covered up. Whenever we live like that in a personality and when we bite people and we cause these things, we have to bury those things. Now, that's developing your personality. It's called pride. Always drives you to the theater of self. That's where you is in lights, where the premiere is showing you of you on the screen, where the crowds are waiting for your autograph. And you drive up in one of these great big stretch limos. People cheer, and then you know what has to happen in all of our lives. We have to face the cross. When you're in that room and you're all by yourself and you've had that whole day of pretending, when you sit down, you have to really face yourself. Say amen, somebody. See, the whole thing is denying yourself. And the whole thing in this is that you have to face the cross. You know, Sue, when you were talking about that up here today, I was glad when you turned the picture. Because sometimes people get caught in, Well, it's so melancholy and it's so dark in here, and I'll pull the shades down and I'll get a bottle of Coke and put some old records on and just die. But see, you're coming out of that thing. How about looking at the good things? How about looking at your friends? I'm talking about the stick-together people. How about looking at those things? How about facing the cross? You know, when you face the cross, that's how you get out of your personality. And why are people so miserable? Because they're trying to live what people think they ought to be and what they think people want them to be. Isn't that right? Always holding on to their personality. They answer, "Oh, good morning." They can't really be themselves. I'm not saying you get mean and hit people because that's the way you feel. But that you admit that you could, for the grace of God, do that. See, and that's where we lose it. We're so busy building up this image. Praise God, I've had enough people as of late tearing it down. I don't have to worry about doing any of that myself. Say amen, somebody. I think we all need some of that during our lifetime, don't we? Someone to just give you a good, swift kick in the seat of the pants and say, hey, lose your life to gain your life. We're so fearful of people finding us out. God. Realize when preachers get up, they have to get up with their personality. Isn't he a personality? Isn't he a wonderful person? Notice the way he smiles. Notice the way he carries himself. Now he's got to live up to that. Is that the way you are down at work? Is that the way you are at home? You're playing the part? Oh, give it up. So we have to face the cross. Number one, for the remission of sins. Number two, for the liberation from the prison house called Self-Inflicted Island. It says, he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. 2 Corinthians 5 and 15. And to the degree in which self-life prevails is the purpose of the cross being frustrated. The more that we live in ourselves, and the more that we don't turn to Christ, the more the cross and the blood is frustrated. Because self-life is a life of jealousies. Ever been around a person that's totally jealous all the time? Why are they that way? That's their personality. You ever been around someone that's totally confused all the time? Why are they that way? Because they're holding on, they're confused, they're divided. Are you hearing this? I mean, climbing that ladder of the Jack and the Beanstalk type ladder, jockeying for position, annoyed at others for not seeing our full potential. Do you ever get annoyed when someone doesn't see your full potential? I mean, this personality, old Adam, must die. God knows it needs burying. It stinks bad enough. Say amen, somebody. We could just be ourselves in God. Now, I'm not talking about being some kind of a religious nut, okay? We've got enough of those. I'm talking about just being yourself in God. Okay. Was out with me the other day and a swear word slipped out of his mouth. Oh, I thought he was going to die, you know what I mean? I said, well, man, go down on your knees. Repent right here. I said, why are you so upset? I don't know. I never thought I'd do such a thing. I said, well, now your personality is showing. No, you're an individual. And it came out. Don't worry about it. I said, when I was first came to church and I went to a Pentecostal church and I got up and I was so under bondage that I might say a swear word. I got up and I said, now listen, you guys, I almost got up like Cagney. Well, I just came out of the world, you know. Now listen, you guys, see, I might swear once in a while, see? So don't get upset. I'm just being delivered, see? Then I sat down. My ears started getting red, I had little hair then, and it started getting red, and, I looked like Rudolph. I mean, I was just sitting there, I was so embarrassed, but again, my personality was showing, wasn't it? I was afraid to be honest with people. I was afraid, even after that I admitted it, I was afraid. Oh, now what do they think of me for saying that? Don't we worry a lot what people think? Don't worry about it. They don't think much about you anyway. Don't be such an egotist. People really don't care that much. God is the one that cares. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Are you hearing this? See, this old Adam has got to die. Well, how does it die? You give yourself to Christ. Our doctrine must be the body. Personality members must cease to live for themselves. It lives for the body. Its interests are fused with the body and the sacred head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give an illustration here. What if this left leg didn't want to go where this right leg wanted to go? And what if this arm didn't want to join in with this arm? Wouldn't that be confusion? And what if this mind was divided in its thinking? A house divided against itself cannot stand. Why halt ye, it says, between two opinions? Either you're for God or you're against God. So many people think, well, if I go to God, I'll just be a freak. No. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm not saying that you don't go to church. I'm not saying that you don't read your Bible. But I'm saying don't let your personality build you up so that you're doing it to look good. Be honest with yourself. Say, well, now, the other day I was talking to a fellow. I said, well, I get up and I pray in the morning. He said, how long do you pray? I said, about 3 minutes. What? 3 minutes? Yeah, I said, that's all I need to pray in the morning. That's all the time I have. Then I get in the car and I pray on the way to work. And then throughout the day I'm praying. See, prayer is an attitude. And so many times we have to be seen of men. We have to be seen there in these big meetings and holding our arms up and rocking to and fro, being the biggest phony in the world in these big spiritual meetings, rocking. Half the people that go, don't mean it. They're rocking back and forth. How we praise you forevermore. They don't mean it. They're hungry. They want to get out of there and they want to go down to Perkins to get something to eat. See, being an individual in Christ allows you the privilege of being an individual. I know in the world that sometimes I think there's more love in the world than there is in the body of Christ sometimes. Ooh, that's dangerous to say that, isn't it? But it's the truth. Say amen. Why is it? Because they're honest. They know where they're at. See, once we get saved, we think we know where we're at, and then we find out that there's still sin, and there's still those things that are bothering us, and there's still that guilt, and there's all of those things there, see. So then we try the cover-up. And the deeper we get in the Lord, the more we have to cover up, because we're in more light now. Now we're center stage now. Now the spotlight is on us. Ooh. When the spotlight is on, pastors, if you're listening on the radio, when the spotlight is on, will you have enough guts to admit you're still a sinner, saved by grace, and that you aren't perfect? And that God has shown you a lot in your own life that isn't right? Because the deeper you go in the Lord, the more humble you become, the more you understand sin, the more you understand people. People are people. We found that out down here, haven't we, Sue? People are just people. Some are tall and some are short. Some are fat, some are cute, some are ugly. Some are bald. Some that are ugly turn out to be cuter than the cuter ones because they're individuals. And the other one is a personality. And the personality doesn't last. It shows its real self in the end. Say amen, somebody. This message isn't to bind you up, it's to free you. Smile a little bit. Encourage the preacher, okay? Did you ever try to look out at all the different personalities? When I was evangelizing and I'd go out and you'd get out there and there would be throngs of people. come on, and now, and they go. Sometimes they'd make it worse. They'd get up and they'd brag you up before you get up. And he done this, and he done that, and he done. Well, now you have to live up to that. You know what I used to do to that in my last years of my ministry when the guy said, well, don't believe all that. It's not true. I'm a miserable sinner saved by grace, and I praise God for it. You know why I did that? Because I couldn't live up to what this guy had built. I mean, he had built a monument there, and then little stubby Paul had to get out of his chair. People were looking for something wrong then. You know, when you're thinking that everything is right with you and you're living in your personality, then people start to look for what's wrong with you. Well, save them the trouble. Tell them what's wrong with you. And you don't have to worry about it anymore. Are you understanding this? And I don't care how many times you've read the Bible. I don't care how many times you've prophesied over someone. I don't care what kind of a ministry you're listening on the radio that you have built. You are still a sinner saved by grace, a child of God. Not God, a child of God. How many of you are in it? Doesn't that take the pressure off? It does for me. It takes the pressure off for me in running this huge mission operation. Because you see, you give all the glory to God. God is the author and finisher of your faith, all of our faith. Are you hearing this? So our doctrine then is the body. And its interests, I said, are fused with the body, its sacred head. For by one Spirit, it says, are we all baptized into one body. God hath tempered the body together, burned it together, that there should be no schism in the body. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And members in particular. Each one is an individual. But he is an individual in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12. An individual. That's where we miss it. You, Marty, are an individual. More and more and more I'm finding out that Marty is an individual. We have to appreciate each person as an individual. I don't care what station of life that they may come from. Each person is a beautiful individual. You, sir, are a beautiful individual, and your wife, his wife, is a beautiful individual. Ron is a tremendous, beautiful individual. You are an individual in God. See, that's where we miss it. We start to judge people out there. Jesus says, judge ye not the world, for the world is already under judgment. And in the manner that you judge them, so shall ye be judged. And in the manner that you mete it out, so shall it be met out to you. And so that leaves all the judging to God. Well, that's going to put a lot of people on the retired list, let me tell you. That's going to take a lot of preachers and put them on the retired, put them on the bench. Because we can't play the game unless we know that Jesus came to save sinners. Say amen, somebody. See, we lose our personality, but we become individual members of the body. I think one of the most beautiful things in the Sermon on the Mount, and I had a whole album on Sermon on the Mount, I think one of the most beautiful things that I found out when I was doing the study on that was the simplicity of its language. It was so down to earth. Every child, every undereducated person can understand it. No one word required a dictionary. You know why? It was the plain truth. You know, sometimes when you just tell the truth, it basically is so simple. Yet Jesus manifested the perfect wisdom of God. I think the more a person manifests the wisdom of God, the more simpler are his ways of thinking and acting. Sometimes I have been accused of being too simple in my preaching. Well, the world again says it. They say, why don't you say it like it is? Why beat around the bush? I mean, the more simple are his ways of thinking and acting, and the more simple are his words through which he expresses his ideas. I think the more that we face the truth, pastors listening on the radio, and the more that we exercise the truth of God, the simpler it should become. I mean, how simple can that be? I love you. Well, what does that mean? Well, the Bible says, no greater love hath a man than he would die for a friend. And so we just knock it all the way down the line. We don't say, count the ways that you love me. A lot of married people do that. Well, tell me the ways that you love me. Oh, I love you because this, and I love you because that. And they go on, make a list. Why not just go up and say, would you die for me? No greater love hath a man than he would die for. Why not just keep it simple? Why are there so many words used? They're just words. Actually, see, the preaching is in the practicing. People see the love of God in what you do, not in what you preach, not in what you argue about, not in what you debate about, not in your doctrine, not whether you were sprinkled or hosed down or dunked. No, none of those things. Are you hearing this? You know how it says that the people are going to be persuaded of the love of Jesus Christ? It says, when they see us love one another, behold how they love one another. Well, I'm giving people a chance to love me. God knows I need it. Don't you need it? Sure, we all need love. Listen, radio audience, I'm giving you an opportunity to love me. Now you're holding the ball. Keep them cards and letters coming in to support this mission. Oh, there you go again, asking for money. No, I ask for your love. Love isn't selfish, however. Praise God for the few friends that I do have that send into this mission down here. But I would say this. This is an opportunity for people to really show their love for old Pastor Paul. Keep your card. And hey, when I get those letters, I don't want them to burn in my hand. I've got some letters lately. I pick them up and I think, ooh, this is a foul-smelling thing. I'm not kidding you. When a letter starts out and it says, first of all, I want to say I love you. Well, I say, well, it doesn't take 15 pages, so I'm not going to read this thing. I'm going to burn it. Because if a person really loves you, they're going to get involved with you. They're going to be down here stirring the soup, driving the trucks, lifting them 100-pound bags of potatoes. Don was down here lifting them 100-pound bags of potatoes. It's the first work he had seen in 6 years. But he handled it all right. Now I'll tell you something, Don. What I felt with you was a lot of love and sincerity. Simplicity. Tote that bail mentality. Is that an insult? No, definitely not. No, definitely not. See, people are afraid of work now. See, it might put them in a different class. Pastor, a guy told me, you shouldn't be lifting those potatoes. I said, you know what? I'm almost persuaded. Come on over here and grab a bag. Well, see what? I would, but I got to be running now. That love ran out on me quick. Say amen, somebody. Ooh, but keep it simple, stupid. I think the more simple that we keep it, the easier it's understood. The greater the truth to be expressed, the more simply can it and should it be clothed. What do you mean by that? Simple truth is clothed with very few words. T-shirts against fur coats or tuxedos. You don't have to dress things up. I would help you, but see, I have to be running right now. And then they go through a whole 10-minute explanation why they couldn't help. I say, well, now, if you're going to go through 10 minutes of explaining Why don't you carry these potatoes and carry these things and work while we're talking? See, people try to cover up what they say but really mean with word clothing. Are we all guilty of that? I think so. They clothe it up with words. They beat around the bush with words. They lay awake nights trying to put self in and leave others out. How can I pull this thing off and still be top dog? How can I pull this thing off and come out looking good, looking decent? I haven't got time to waste on that. Sometimes you have to make moves where you won't look decent. Sometimes you have to make moves when you won't look like top dog. But you'll be obedient to the Lord. You'll be an individual. You won't be worrying about keeping your personality up. You know how hard it is to build a personality? It's like building blocks. You build all these blocks up, and there's always somebody that's going to come in and shake those blocks. But an individual is, I am what I am, what I am. What you see is what you get. Are you hearing this? You know why people are so fearful? They're living under this terrible pressure of keeping. You know why people are insane? They're trying to put on a show. They're trying to be like somebody else. I think a lot of times, you know, the personality is revealed even in church. I remember one time a woman, she sat down and she had her purse on one side of the of her where she was sitting, and she had her coat on the other side. And that was so that no one would sit by her, that she didn't. It was almost like she had a rear view mirror. Because then a certain person come in and she says, oh, let me take my selfish purse and my selfish coat here and move those. She didn't want certain people to sit by her. Well, I can see that sometimes. There are certain people. Being honest, there are certain obnoxious people, aren't there? There are some people that you get along better with than others, aren't there? See, the whole thing is being honest. Well, it's hard to do, isn't it? Why is it? Because people would find out your personality. They'd find out about you. I think talk to a person with a mind that is wonderfully simple. And all the literature looks like word fixing. It's like price fixing. Just talk to a person that's real simple. Now, there's a fellow, and he comes down and he washes dishes down here. And he's really serious about what he's doing. And he's simple. Some people call him retarded. And he's real simple with what he does, and he does the job, and he cleans everything off, and he stands back, and he's whistling, and he's happy. He's like the seven dwarfs, you know, whistle while you work. And he has everything cleaned up, and he has a satisfaction. He's not trying to make a show. He's just because he doesn't have the mentality for that. He isn't even thinking about his, but oh, what an individual. And when people look at him, they think, well, this guy is simple, but he's got a simple joy and a simple happiness about him. Keep it simple. Don't try to cover up. Don't even take on a job. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Pray until you really want to do it, until the Spirit of God says, now you want to do it. That's like when I get up in the morning. Do you always feel like going down and doing God's work, Pastor? No. Times I hate to come down here and do God's work. But then again, that's my personality showing, isn't it? It's not quite dead yet. Every once in a while, I kick open the coffin and I get the fingernails out in the coffin there and I start creaking on the wood and pushing a few nails up. Do you always want to go to work? Of course not. That's your personality again. And that's what I'm saying. And the Bible says, die to yourself and gain Christ. What does it mean, becoming more Christ-like? That means you become less like yourself, more like Christ. That isn't always easy because we have a personality we want to keep up. The way you comb your hair, you know. The way you look. Isn't there even a song like that, Personality, Mick? She's got personality. So hard. Some of the gals got that, you know, they got their personality, you know, they just the way they carry themselves and they walk. Susie QZ. No, I'm just using your name because Susie QZ. Okay. Susie QZ. And they got to keep this personality up. And they just, it's so hard. They cannot be themselves. Maybe I'm obnoxious sometimes, but this is me. I mean, people go nuts trying to carry on with their personality. You know that, Don, yourself, when truck drivers were out there when you were driving truck cross country, and truck drivers all thought they were supposed to have tattoos on their arms, have a certain personality years ago. Or a Marine had mom painted on his arm, huh? All for personality's sake. Trying to build something that's sure to fall down. I believe for the most of my life, until I came to Christ, I was a mental. Totally mental. Crazy. Insane. Strong enough? Nuts! Do you think you were any saner before you came to Christ? What is sanity? Jesus Christ is sanity. Outside of that, there is no sanity. Guy told me the other day, he says, you know what? The world is really gaining knowledge. I said, yeah, but they have no wisdom to go with it. They're very knowledgeable, and now Gaddafi's got a bomb. What do you think he'll do with it? I'd hate to be living in the White House. What do you think some of these third world powers will do with a bomb? Words. I went to the doctor some time back and he scribbled something. I think they write it so they can't be taken to court. And it was in Latin. I didn't know if it was Latin or what. And I thought, boy, this is confusing. Why didn't you just put on there a cold or an ache or a pain without writing on here in Latin, scaring people to death? Whatever happened, I thought, as he was writing this out, to an apple a day. Now they knocked that one out because they want you to come. Or like the lawyer that I recently seen. Second party, the first party, the first party, the second party, the third party. Huh? Why do they do that? Because there's money in it. There's money in a lot of words. There's cheating and scheming and conniving and all that in a lot of words. I watched the fight from Vegas last night, and they had a preliminary, and I can't remember the fellow's names. But they got done, and the young man that was an 8-1 favorite almost lost, but then he knocked the guy out anyway. And turned out he was a Christian, and they asked him a question. He said, well, what happened out there? He says, well, things like that happen. I just didn't have it. I learned a lesson. And then on the main bout, I seen some other personality traits that really surprised people. Two men getting mad at each other, I mean, after the bell rang and all of that, you know, and their personalities were showing. But the man that became an individual in Christ was really a witness to me. He says, well, things like that happen. And he wasn't putting the other fellow down. He didn't say one word about, I'm going to kill you, and they didn't get nose to nose with all this baloney and all that, you know. I thought, here is a man that's, and he said it in very few words, so I know it was so real. He just simply said, things like that happen.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Paul's podcast, part one, episode 250, Personality. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.